It means so much to me. That was one of the first songs, one of the first what we used to call camp songs that I ever learned. And it is still a very meaningful and powerful song to me, and I hope it is to you. Tonight is the first in a series of either three or four lessons. It just depends on how much I'm able to cover as I talk about death and beyond. And tonight, death and beyond, part one, man in three parts. The three parts of man. Now, to understand this, we go back to Genesis, and we go back to Genesis 2, starting in verse 4. And I'm going to read from the American Standard Version, the 1901 American Standard Version. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Jehovah God made earth and heaven. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You know, human beings are different from the animals in that we were created in the image of God. I know what scientists try to say. They try to suggest that man evolved from lower species, and through billions of years, evolution transformed us from single-celled amoebas in the edge of the ocean to the humans that we are now, and that evolution will continue, and at some point we will become even something more than what we are now. And that's the theory that so many people live by. That's taught in schools as a fact, when in reality there's nothing to support that. There's zero evidence to support that kind of thinking. But God formed man from the dust of the earth, and the thing that set man apart was that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God says in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26, beginning, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God made man. And he made man special, different than he did the animals, in that he created man in his image after his likeness. Now, this does not mean that you can look at a human being and see what God looks like. That is not what that means. We are not in the physical image of God, for God is a spirit, as Jesus said to the woman at the well. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God's image is not physical in form. We are made as God saw fit in the human form that we have. But that's not what sets us apart from the animals. We can think about our past, our present, and our future as we contemplate the day of our departure from this world. God made man originally, it would appear, based on the Genesis account, that he made man originally to live on this earth. But because of sin, it changed things. Because man sinned against God, and that's where the tragedy came to be, it changed things. Now, God made it clear in Genesis 9, verse 6, and of course this is after the fall of man, but he says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." So someone says that the government does not have the right to execute judgment, to carry out capital punishment. But God says Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. It is a capital offense to murder another human being. It is a capital offense. It is an offense to God as well as to man. And so God says this is not going to be tolerated. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, and then we'll get into the actual message itself, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, all of this is in setting up who we are, that we are made in the image of God. And when death came into this world because of sin, this was the supreme tragedy. This was the worst thing that could possibly happen. For God's plan was that man would be in his presence forever. God's plan was that man would not sin, that he would not disobey him. He only gave man one rule, didn't he? One rule. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only rule he gave man. But later on, of course, he had to give man more rules. For instance, as we read in Genesis chapter 9, whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So it ended up causing there to have to be more rules, and all of that was because of sin. And you know the story, and I'm not going to rehearse the story of the fall of man, except to say God says to Adam, talking about you will eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You're going to die. You're physically going to die. Now in Genesis 5, 1 through 5, we read how that Adam begat a son. Verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. A human being, a mortal, a physical person. He begat a son after his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. And after Adam begat Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Physically, Adam died. Now, he died spiritually the day he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was death that day. Formerly, God had walked with them in the cool of the evening in the garden, but now God would no longer be able to walk with them. They were cut off from God. And of course, God drove them out of the garden. He put a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the entrance of the garden. Nobody's getting in because no one's going to have access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Nobody is going to have access to this. They were cut off. They were separated from God because of sin. And God says, you're going now to die physically. You have died spiritually. You have been cut off from me. But you're going to also die physically. Now, you won't die today. In fact, it was 930 years from creation until Adam actually drew his last breath and faced death. Death was put upon man as a punishment from God because of sin. The serpent had said, you will not surely die. And the woman believed him in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus said about the devil, you are of your father the devil, in John 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, we have mentioned physical and spiritual death because we are physical and spiritual beings. Adam created Seth in his own image after his own likeness, physically. God created man in his own image after his own likeness, spiritually. We've determined God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Man is both flesh and spirit. Death passed upon men because of sin. Spiritual death passed upon men because of sin. This is found in Genesis 3, 22 and 23, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. You he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1. In 1 Timothy 5, 6, talks about the young widows, as we were talking about this morning. The young widows, it says, she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Ignoring the commandments of God, she lives for pleasure. She is dead while she lives. So spiritually dead while she lives physically. James 1, 5 talks about sin. Sin comes from our own lusts. And it says, lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Death is God's promise. So let's talk about the threefold nature of man. Because of physical death, because of spiritual death, we need to understand the part that is played by the spirit, the soul, and the body. All three are mentioned in Scripture in connection to man. The spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, because of the difference in man and animal, I need to bring out that the Bible does mention the souls of animals. It talks about the bodies of animals. But it never one time talks about the spirit of animals. It's nowhere mentioned in Scripture. And that is the major difference between man and animal. There is no spirit in animals. They have a soul, but not in the way we think of the word soul. We use the word soul for that immortal part of us that will live forever. That part of us that makes us like God. But that's actually a misuse of the word. Let me give you some biblical proof for that. First of all, the Bible makes it very clear that we are mortal. Our physical body is mortal. We are going to die one day. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Romans 6, verse 12, that you should obey it in its lusts. Romans 8, 11, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. In 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54, as it's talking about the resurrection from the dead, it talks about this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And the mortal must put on immortality. And when that happens, death is swallowed up in victory. This is the hope we have of heaven being our home one day. But we are mortal creatures living in a physical world, in physical bodies. We cannot get out of this tent while we are on this earth. This is the house in which we dwell. When death claims us, we will leave these mortal bodies behind. We will leave these mortal bodies behind. Who are we? And what are we? If we are not our bodies, what are we? Now, this is one of these complicated lessons that's very difficult to comprehend, much less to preach. But let's understand this. You are more than corpuscles, muscles, sinew, and bone. There's more to you than what can be experienced empirically with the five senses. There's more to you than that. You are a physical body, but you are more than a physical body. You are a living soul. You are a living soul. And you are a living soul that lives inside this mortal body. And one day, you're going to bid this mortal body goodbye. and you will not have this mortal body anymore. And when the resurrection comes, as we read, there will be a moment where the corruptible must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. So you will have a new body, a spiritual body, that is not corruptible, that is not subject to decay or failure or sickness or any other issue like our physical bodies are. When the Bible talks about our resurrected bodies, it talks about our immortal bodies. But when it talks about our pre-resurrected bodies, the bodies we have now, it talks about our mortal bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, if all I do is display the image of earthly man, then I have no real hope and I have no real purpose. If in this life only we have hope, in Christ we are of all men most pitiable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If I also bear the image of my heavenly Father, though, if I am living my life patterned after Him, then I have real hope and real purpose. So the truth about it is that we have, as 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, we talked about this in Bible class just a few weeks ago. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the body. Our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Is the inward man the body? No. The outward man is the body. Several years ago, a younger preacher, he was in his 40s, said to me, now I was 50-something at the time, I'll be 63 next week, sometime next week, the 11th, I guess it is. That's a hint for my birthday party. No, it's not. All right, but then I was in my 50s at the time this younger preacher said, Robert, listen, I am 45 or 46, whatever it was. He says, I just cannot jump up off the floor like I used to. I said, jump up. I can't even jump down. I mean, when we get older, we get stiffer. Now, I know I've got a big old belly in my way. I know that. Nobody has to tell me. Larry Thrasher does not need to say, Robert, you got a big old belly in the way. No, don't do that. I don't need you to do that, okay? I don't need you to do that. But I know that it is in the way, but I also know that my back joints and my knee joints and my elbow joints and shoulder joints and hip joints do not let me bend over and pick up an ink pen or easily tie my shoe either. But it used to not be that way. The body decays. The body slows down. Now, you young folks don't have a clue, do they, older people? Those of you that are willing to admit you're older people. They don't have any idea about the breakdown of the body. But it does happen. It does. And yet this mortal, we will give up this tent. This earthly house, we will give it up. It's being destroyed. It's falling apart. The outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The body, the earthly human body, is this earthly house of flesh in which we live. The soul usually refers to the inner man. It is the seat of desires, appetites, and affections. And the soul is unique to each individual. The soul is who you are. It is your identity. It is your identity. Matthew 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who are able to kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The soul is referring to the person that lives inside your body. The person that lives inside your body. That is your soul. That is you. That is unique to you. There's only one of you in the whole world. Your soul is you. And when this body is gone, you will still remain. You will still exist. And you don't have to believe it. It's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. We have things happen sometimes and we say, oh man, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It still happened, didn't it? Whether you believe it or not. And you have a soul that's going to live on outside this body. And that soul is you. It is your identity. I want you to listen to Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Here are those souls that are under the altar. Now, I understand this is symbolic language. I understand this is a book of signs and symbols. It's a book signifying things that must shortly come to pass. I understand that. And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So, just like you were killed, there are others that will also die. And until that is finished, you rest a little while longer. Now, I'm not getting into the meaning of this except to say the souls of those who had died were there with God. The soul of man is the life of man. The soul of an animal is that life of an animal. How many dogs have you had through the years? Were they all exactly the same? No, they were not. Each one has its own unique personality. That is that soul of that dog. It is not immortal. It is not going to last forever. It is confined in that body. It is the life of that animal. And when that soul leaves that body, that animal passes from this life, doesn't it? But the thing that separates man from animals is the next feature, and that is the spirit. The spirit of man. Now, I don't know how to describe the spirit of man except to say it is like God. It is made in the image of God. It is not the soul of man that's made in the image of God. It's not the body of man that's made in the image of God. It is the spirit of man that will live on forever and ever and ever and cannot be destroyed. And the soul and the spirit are together, and they cannot be separated from each other. The soul and the spirit are not referring to exactly the same thing, but they cannot be separated from one another. The spirit is this part of man made in the image of God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The spirit of man is the highest part of man. It's that part of man that connects him with God. It is that part of man that seeks God when the body and the soul don't know about God. You take a person in a foreign land who's never heard of God, who has no connection with Christianity in any form or any perversion of it. It has no connection. And yet you will find, even in the most primitive cultures, worship of something greater than themselves. Worship of something that they perceive, I should say it that way, worship of something that they perceive is greater than themselves. Man has an instinct, a need built into us. It's put there by God Himself, this longing for God. And when we look for God in everywhere except where the Bible tells us, when we look for God in pleasure or in personal profit or growth or development or something for ourselves. When we look for God where God is not, we're not going to find him. And everything we find, like I talked about this morning, is going to be a disappointment. It's going to be a letdown. We're not going to be satisfied. These holes in our soul that we desperately need, we need God there. And the spirit of man longs for God. And man fights it and substitutes drugs and pleasure and wealth and popularity and power and any other thing that he may try to substitute for it. The spirit of man longs for God because we are inseparably connected to him. We were made in the image of God. The spirit of man. It says in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That breath of life, that is our spirit. And that is that part of us that will be with God in eternity. Our soul and spirit are united, will be with God in eternity. Or our soul and spirit will be cut off from God forever and cast into the place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The body is gone. The body, the physical body, is gone. There will be a spiritual body, an incorruptible body. And that's where the spirit and the soul will be. But the spirit of man, not the same as the soul of man. The spirit of man is that part of man that is like God. And what we have to do is grow as people, as individuals, as souls. We have to grow to become like Jesus. We have to grow to become more than what we are and more than what we see around us. We have to serve the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. We have to love God and serve him and live for him every day so that one day we can live with him. The human mind, or the human being, is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The death of the body will not be the death of the soul nor of the spirit that's within each of us. The spirit will live on beyond death's door, either in heaven or in hell. God willing, next week we're going to look at death itself and what happens in death. And if time permitting, we will then look at what will happen after death. And then the last lesson will be the last things after death. So I'm looking forward to this study. I hope that you are, and I hope you'll enjoy it. As you consider your life and your relationship with God, if there is anything that would keep you from being able to go and be with God tonight, should it be your time, then you need to do something about it. You don't need to wait. You don't need to put it off. You need to dedicate your life to doing his will, and you need to begin living for him. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess your faith in Christ? Will you be baptized for remission of your sins? Will you become a child of God? If you haven't done it, you need to. And whatever your situation, if you're a child of God, man, if you've not been faithful to him, you need to rededicate your life to him while you can. You need to come back home before it's too late. So if there's any way we can help you tonight to make things right with God, whatever your need, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.